Hope is one of the virtues, cardinal virtues, as we say, which means it's our faith is pretty much built on hope. And in the scriptures, be the Old Testament, the New Testament, we will find that it is basically every page we talk about hope. Because it's always we'll find promises. The covenant that God made with the people of Israel was based on a promise. God promised, I will protect you. I'll be with you forever. I'll never abandon you. And that was the promise. And God never did. We found it, we heard in the first reading talking about David. David became the most important of all the kings of Israel, the model for the king. And he lived in a time that the people of Israel, the kingdom, was still being built as a nation. And he, much of his time spent in wars, in battles. And we heard today that says, oh, here I am, and build his palace of cedar. And he said, and the Ark of the Covenant, still on a tent. You know that the Ark of the Covenant was the most treasured of all that the people had, and accompanied them from the time that Moses, you know, had the received the Ten Commandments that gave identity to that people when they were crossing the desert, when they were going from slavery in Egypt towards the promised land. Again, even that was a promise of hope that Moses believed and, you know, freed the people, and he himself never entered that promised land. And here we see David, times later, when they are there, settling in the promised land, and say, we need to build a house for God. We need to build a temple. And the prophet Nathan was there and presenting him, saying, God said, more than any building that you can make, you know, you can't, there's nothing that you can make that will be so, you know, so beautiful that you can place to say that is the house of God. And then he makes a promise, again, a promise of hope, that the kingdom of David would last for all ages. And there would come a descendant that would rule the nations, not only the nation of Israel, but all the nations. And what we find in the gospel, finally, in this time of Advent, we meet the figure of Mary. We couldn't conclude our Advent season without meditating on her presence, on her way of saying yes to God that will teach us. And she's pretty much at the very center of all our time of Advent. Again, the angel made a promise, you know, the son that will be born from you, he will be great. And all nations will come to him, and his kingdom will know no end. And I see that Mary says, and how can this be? I'm not married yet. She was engaged, you know, promised in marriage to Joseph. They were not living together. And the angel explained that the Holy Spirit would come. And she said yes to God's plan. And of all the figures that we're going to find in the Holy Scriptures, that were, you know, were given promises, Most of them have never seen that promise fulfilled. Mary could live with Jesus and then was his disciple and followed him and was at the foot of the cross when he died and was there in Pentecost, met, or even before Pentecost, met the risen Lord, and Pentecost received the Holy Spirit with the apostles. But then the church began to spread of that promise that his kingdom would embrace all nations, it would have no end. She saw only the beginning. That's why this time is for each one of us also, we say, a time of hope, a time of believing that God is close to us. Here we are. In just a few hours, we'll be celebrating the joy of Christmas that we renew each year. That should be the celebration of light. That should be the celebration of the same hope that God has promised each page of sacred scriptures and is also in each page of our own lives. Many of the promises, perhaps, we're not going to be totally fulfilled. But many of them, if we look into our history, the history of our lives, we'll find God's presence in there. Mary said yes to God. And since then, the church has shown such a warmth, tender feeling toward Mary. As saying yes, she didn't know that, you know, that would be in many ways a bumpy road. Wouldn't be every day so beautiful and nice. But she knew that God would always be by her side. As we conclude our time of Advent, as we turn the page and we begin celebrating Christmas, we are also joining Mary in that longing and that looking at the future, looking at the promises God has made. Of course, we look into our world, and when we come, we gather, we say the celebration of peace, the celebration of joy, and we say, where is that peace? Where is that joy? And we're going to see it must be in our hearts first. It must be with each one of us, and then it will make sense, because we will become that joy to other people. We will be ambassadors, instruments of that same hope, that we cannot control everything, we cannot change everything, and that calls to us to be humble, as Mary was. She was not at the center. David, for a moment, the king, way ahead, you know, back before Jesus was born, centuries before, he kind of wanted to be the center. I will build a house. And the Lord just said, you cannot. Don't be so pretentious. Who are you? There's nothing that you can build that will be fit for God on earth. Mary just said, I am the servant. I am the handmaid. So that's the way our Savior, God Himself, wanted to be part of our world in a humble way, to show us that with humility there is a space for God in our lives, in our world. So may we open our hearts. May we say yes, as Mary said. And may we strengthen that same hope that brought us here, that keeps our faith alive, and you move on always towards that promised land that the Lord has guaranteed for each one of us. If the Lord says, the Lord will fulfill it. So it is a time of joy. It is a time of hope. It is a time of believing once again. It's not just a pretty story. It's the story of the presence of God in our world, the presence of God in our lives.